Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Ron's Amazing Stories. We have stories that should thrill you a little and chill you a little.
It's amazing.
You will hear adventures sent in by you guys, classic stories from the pulp mags, and episodes from the golden age of radio. We have special segments like Ghost Stories with Sylvia.
That's amazing.
And the paranormal with Jason.
I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
So settle in for the next hour and enjoy the show. Oh, and you just might want to prepare yourself to be taken away from today.
Another 5-minute mystery.
This 5-Minute Mystery is being brought to you by Savannah, Georgia. In Savannah, the first question people ask you is, what would you like to drink? Home of ghosts, history, and more recently, the paranormal with Jason. We'll check that out later, but right now, here's your story.
Hello, Mr. Minton. How are you?
Well, hello, Joe.
You're going to take a nice Turkish bath in the steam room, Mr. Minton?
Yeah. Look at that fat, Joe.
All right, here's a towel. You like a massage after, maybe?
No, I haven't time. Say, is old man Wallace in there getting steam? I said I'd meet him.
Yeah, he must be plenty hot by now. There's 5 or 6 customers in there. Oh, I'll open the door for you, Mr. Minton.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Call me in 10 minutes.
Sure. Let me see. Mr. Turner said I should call him in 15 minutes. Mr. Wallace said that... What's the matter? Steam pipe broke, maybe? Somebody getting burnt? What's the matter in there? You got trouble? Who screamed?
Oh, old man Wallace has just been stabbed to death. He's been stabbed in the back.
Well, George, you find anything?
There's still a lot of steam in that room, Chief, but I searched it thoroughly. There's no knife anywhere. Ceiling, floor, walls...
And yet Wallace was stabbed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And what's worse, the room was so thick with steam, no one saw the murderer do it. What about the men that were in there?
I searched them thoroughly, Chief. Nothing but this collection of towels.
Joe, did you see anyone go into that steam room with anything but a towel in his hand? You were standing right here at the door all the time.
No, sir, Chief. Just towels and maybe a toothbrush.
Toothbrush?
Yeah, toothbrush with a little black case. After the murder, Mr. Minton handed it to me as he came out of the steam room and told me to put it in his locker, but I didn't have time. Here it is, right here.
Let's see. Toothbrush, all right. Good solid plastic tube with a top to put it in. You couldn't stab a man. Wait a minute. This holder. George, quick. Get Minton in here.
Right.
I'm going to look in that steam room once more, but now I know what I'm looking for.
Mr. Minton, would you please get a robe on? The chief would like to see you in here a minute.
Well, I'm glad to talk to the chief any time, but I'm sure I've told him all I know about this thing.
Here's the chief now.
Oh, hello, Mr. Minton. Just a couple of questions more. Is this your toothbrush and case?
Why, Joe, I thought I told you...
It is yours, and you had it with you in that steam room when Wallace was killed. Minton, I'm arresting you for the murder of James Wallace.
Do you know how Minton killed James Wallace in the steam room of a Turkish bath? The chief will explain his deductions in just a moment. In the meantime...
Okay, that exchange between Mr. Midran and Joe the steam guy was more than just a little bit creepy. I've not had a steam bath before, but I'm sure that I would not be showing off my body parts. As for the method of murder, I think I know what's going on here. Although in the 1940s when this was made, I'm sure it was quite unique. The empty toothbrush case was my clue. What was yours? Now, back to our story.
And here's the chief to tell you how James Wallace was killed.
The method used was most unusual. When we think of stabbing, we think of knives. But no ordinary knife killed James Wallace. It was a disappearing knife.
How could a knife disappear, chief? It's impossible.
Not if the knife were made of dry ice. Minton's toothbrush holder was a plastic mold in the shape of a dagger. In it, he carried into that steam room a dagger made of dry ice, withdrew it from the mold at the proper moment, and stabbed Wallace. He counted on it dissolving in the steam before it was discovered. I found a piece of it giving off its own form of steam in one corner of the steam room. Minton killed Wallace, and almost got away with a perfect crime if the murder weapon had disappeared.
Yep, just as I thought, a dry ice knife. Pretty good story if only I could get past that creepy part at the beginning. I think Joe the steam guy might love his job just a little bit too much. Anyway, this 5-minute mystery was brought to you by Savannah, Georgia. Welcome to the podcast. Today we have something pretty special. Jason Dowd is back and he takes us on a journey with him to the city of Savannah, Georgia. You're not going to believe the ghost stories he experienced while staying at the Planter's Inn. Also on the show are two listener tales that fall directly into the category of the head scratcher. A postman tries to make a delivery and is halted by a ghost. And a shadow on the wall defies any kind of logic. We will end the show with a brand new Johnny Is It True? Alien edition. So settle in and enjoy the show. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, computer, Kindle. Whatever you have, you can listen to Audible on it. So, what am I listening to right now? Alien 3. An Audible original drama. Now, I'm sure that you remember or have seen the cult hit movie Alien from 1979. It was followed up by another successful film in 1986 called Aliens. These were some of the best movies for horror science fiction ever, and the franchise continues on today. But did you know that a third script was written in 1987? While it was never made into a movie, the script was leaked online and it became a cult classic. Audible got the rights to it and has made it into a 2-hour-plus audio production starring much of the original cast of that 1986 film, Aliens. It is called Alien 3. Audible has brought William Gibson's script to life to mark the 40th anniversary of the birth of the Alien franchise. Alongside a full cast, Michael Biehn and Lance Hendrickson reprise their iconic roles as Corporal Hicks and Bishop. This terrifying dramatization is a chance to experience the untold story as a completely immersive audio experience. The story begins with the Suluku on its return journey from LV-426. On board are the cryogenically frozen crew that survived, Ripley, Hicks, Newt, and Bishop. Here is a brief bit of what you can expect to hear from Alien 3.
Ripley and I survived. Newt had now herself been abducted. She was deep inside the damaged atmosphere processor, its failing reactor going critical. We urgently needed to make our escape in the spare dropship, which I had summoned from the Sulaco. But Ripley had formed an attachment with the child.
Bishop! How much time?
Plenty. 26 minutes.
We're not leaving!
We're not?
I flew the dropship into the atmosphere processor tower, buffeted by turbulence from the reactor vents. I put it down on an upper landing platform. Hicks was strapped into a flight seat, badly burned by the creature's acid blood. Ripley was taping a pulse rifle and flamethrower together, stuffing other weapons and ammunition into a bag.
Ripley!
I don't want to hear about it, Bishop. She's alive. There's still time.
In 19 minutes, this area's going to be a cloud of vapor the size of Nebraska.
Hicks, don't let him leave.
We ain't going anywhere.
See you, Hicks.
Dwayne. It's Dwayne.
Ellen.
Don't be gone long, Ellen.
This is not going to end well.
Just keep the dropship on station, Bishop. And pass me the medical kit.
You need bandages?
Painkiller. And plenty of it.
Now you can travel with them to hear the complete story of what really happened in Alien 3. Here's what Audible has set up for us. They are offering a free audiobook and 30 days to give you the opportunity to check out their service. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories. Again, that's audibletrial.com/Ron's Amazing Stories, and you can get your free book today. Thank you, Audible. And now it's time for your stories.
These are your stories, sent by you, for you.
We have two stories from you, for you, this week. Both a bit creepy, and they have no explanation. Stories that I like to call head scratchers. The first comes from New York and was sent in by Abraham Sherman. Abraham is 82 years old and was a postman for 42 years. He said that he saw a lot of strange stuff in his years of mail delivery, but this story stands out as his favorite. I had the pleasure of chatting with him, and I hope that I captured it all. Here is his story. I've had a number of routes during my career. I worked all over the New York area, and before that, I worked in the most haunted state in the U.S. Burlington, Connecticut looks like any other small town in New England. Old architecture, charming storefronts, and lots of natural beauty. But this scenic hill town is also home to a number of ghosts. People are surprised to find that this place has more than one haunting, likely because it's only 30 square miles in size. A daytime visit to Burlington, Connecticut would certainly be a picture-perfect escape. But at night, it's a totally different story. My craziest story is when I had to deliver a signature-required package to an old house out in the woods. I walked up to the front door and knocked. No one answered, so I posted a missed you sign on the door and started to leave. Just as I got to the end of the walk, an old man, about 80 years old or so, comes out and starts yelling, "Where's my wife? What have you done with my wife?" I went back to the house and told the old man I was just delivering a package for him. He looks at me and shouts, "That's it! You have my wife, and I demand you return her at once." Perplexed, I again tried to tell him that I was just the mailman, and that I have this package for him. It was then I felt a chill like I've never felt before. It was a nice summer day, not a cloud in sight, and about 80 degrees. But at that moment, I felt the temperature drop to at least 60. He turned to me and said, "Now, you see what you've done? You've made her angry." The package was snatched from my hands by an unseen force and landed at the old man's feet. I tried to pick it up, but was shoved back. It became clear to me that I needed to get out of there. I quickly got his signature and headed back to my truck as fast as my legs would carry me. Later, I found out from a neighbor that the package contained the urn with his wife's ashes. for some reason, he had shipped them to himself. Abraham Sherman, New York. Wow, that is incredible. You have to wonder if there isn't a special delivery service for that type of thing. Abraham agreed with me and added, "Ron, you should have seen how some of those packages got treated back in the day. It's no wonder the old lady was a little rankled." Thank you for sharing your story, Abraham. It truly is a head-scratcher. Our second story, again, has no viable explanation that I can think of. It comes from Tammy Withers from Eugene, Oregon. Tammy has this to say. "Hello, Ron. I heard you talking about things that just can't be logically explained. I'll bet most people will laugh off my story, but I swear that this is true, and to this day, it still sends chills down my spine. I live in a small apartment at the end of a dead-end road. I tell you that so you have all of the facts. I was trying to fall asleep when I saw what looked like a headlight of a car track across the wall opposite my room's window. The light moved from one side of the wall to the other, but instead of disappearing as if the car had passed, it remained there, revealing the silhouette of a person. I froze and stared at it for a while, waiting for it to go away. It didn't. Eventually, I got up enough courage to go look out the window, but there was nothing out there that could have cast any kind of shadow. I turned back to the silhouette, and it was still there. I went back to bed and just laid there trying to figure it out for several minutes, and then I heard what sounded like a whirling sound approach. Again, the headlights swept across my wall, same as before, only this time the silhouette and remaining light disappeared. I went to the window again, and there was no car, no one outside, or any stray light of any kind. It was very disturbing and very strange. What do you make of it, Ron?" Tammy Withers, Eugene, Oregon. Well, Tammy, let me just say I've not heard anything quite like this one before. A few years ago, we had a story that had a strange light that moved around the bedroom, and that too had no logical explanation. I couldn't even guess what you saw, except to say that it surely is creepy. Well, those are your stories for this time. If you have a story that you would like to share, like Tammy did, head to the main website at ronsamazingstories.com and click on the story submission banner. And tell us where you're from and your story. Make your stories our stories. What is the paranormal? Experts tell us that it is the events or phenomenon that are beyond the scope of normal scientific understanding. But it's more than that. To people like Jason Dowd, it is a way of life. He faces each day in hopes of finding the answers to questions that few would think to ask or would want to ask. Welcome to The Paranormal with Jason. Jason, are you out there?
I sure am.
Well, it is good to have you back in the studio again. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great, actually. I'm relaxed. I'm happy. We've had a great couple months, and I got to go on an adventure. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy and doing good.
So let me just rub it in to everybody in the country that's out there that is suffering through some of the worst snow in the history of snow. What's the temperature outside right now?
77.
and probably sunny?
It was actually overcast today, but it has been pretty much sunny. We get the rain, and then we get the cold from you guys, and then it goes away. Then it gets a little hot, and then it gets sunny, and then it rains, and then it kind of goes back and forth. So it's the way it's been since about November.
I see. Do you realize that if you shared some of that heat, some of us wouldn't be freezing our toes off?
I wish I could. I don't know how to send it your way.
Well, just maybe a big fan, you know, put it right there in the middle of Florida and just push it all up here. What do you think?
I think we could do that. You would think that the hurricanes would come and blow it up your way.
It never does.
I know it never does.
From what I've heard about hurricanes, they more or less get just extremely hot down where you are, almost unbearable, and that's about the extent of it.
It is the most incredible feeling that you get before a hurricane. You know it's coming because the humidity in the air is so heavy that when you walk outside, it actually feels like you're sitting underneath a heavy comforter compressed on your ears. So it's like everything, they say the calm before the storm, that's exactly it. You don't see any trees rustle. You don't hear any birds chirping. You don't hear nothing when you walk outside. It is the craziest sensation you'll ever experience.
Okay, but the whole idea of a comforter sounds really good.
Doesn't it?
Well, Jason, let's not mince words. You have recently been on what can only be described as an epic trip. Is that a fair description?
Very fair description. In fact, I have a bucket list of places I wanted to go, and I was supposed to actually go on Halloween when we had the blue moon, the full moon, and Halloween. I mean, you can't get any better scenarios than that, but I had to cancel it because I was supposed to go with my friends because I'm born on November 1st. So they were like, well, you know, we'll go do something with you for your birthday. So I'm like, okay. So I just canceled the plans and they canceled on me. So missed the opportunity of a lifetime. I still went out and did something for Halloween. I didn't get anything, ironically. But 2 weeks later, we went to Savannah, Georgia. And that place is if you've ever had a chance to go to see a true Southern comfort living, it's there. It's got old money. It's got history. It's got Southern charm. It's got everything that you could possibly ask for, some of the best Southern food. But it also is one of the most haunted cities in all of the United States.
So I'm guessing you didn't go there with the idea of a vacation in mind.
A little bit. But my vacation was to actually look for ghosts. That's what I wanted to see. And I figured if I could see a ghost, that would be the place that it happens.
All right. So let's do what we call in the business a teaser. Don't tell us what happened, but did you have a paranormal experience in Savannah, Georgia?
Several. Not just one. Several.
You'd be willing to tell us about some of those today?
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you guys why I wanted to go to Savannah. And I'm also going to tell you guys some of the places that you can see while you're in Savannah that you don't need to be in, but you can still have a paranormal experience.
All right. So let's start with, why did you go to Savannah, Georgia?
I wanted to get to a simpler place in time. And when you go to Savannah is exactly, if you were to see Gone with the Wind, yes, that was taped in Atlanta, but that's exactly what the city of Savannah is like. It is going back 200 years, and it is, it's got plantations. It's got old counting houses for tobacco and cotton that you can still see. It's got a waterfront. I mean, it's gorgeous to see. The other thing about it is its history. Everybody knows from the shows that I've had, it's got a lot of history. And a lot of that history deals with tragic events that have happened to the Savannah area. So I figured I've heard that it was one of the most haunted places in America, and almost everywhere you step in that city happens to be a cemetery. The cemetery is actually built under buildings because they couldn't move all the buildings. They couldn't move all the bodies. So literally when you're in some of these buildings, you're literally sitting on top of people. When you're driving down the street, you're sitting on top of people. And it's a fascinating story behind that. And I'll tell you that as soon as we get into it.
Well, so what you're saying then is that the ghosts were never displaced. They're just kind of floating wherever the graveyard might be and the house that was built on it.
That's true. And the other thing that I wanted to go there for was I wanted to go experience one of the best restaurants I've ever ate at. And that is the Lady and Sons, which happens to be Paula Deen's restaurant. Her original one that set her off on the map, got her a television show, and that she still broadcasts from today. So you have to get there early. I'm not kidding. If you get there, they do not take reservations. They open up at 11 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. You have to be there at 11 o'clock in the morning, or you might not get a place. It's first come, first served. But I got to eat Paula Deen's actual food. How cool is that? I mean, you can't ask for anything more than that. I mean, Southern food, I'm talking meatloaf, fried chicken. We had her broccoli casserole. We had collard greens. We had all you can possibly think of right there on my table. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. I highly recommend, if you want some really good food, go check her restaurant out.
And for those who don't know, Paula Deen is probably one of America's most enduring chefs and is quite renowned, I believe.
She is. She's actually one of the main founders of the Food Network, because that's really where it came from, was one of her shows. She was one of the first ones on there.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love watching the Food Network myself. So I like watching Bobby Flay do his thing.
Yes.
Where he fends all comers and beats the living daylights out of them with food. You got to mm-hmm. love that.
How can you not?
All right. So that answers the question, why Savannah? What do you want to talk about next, Jason?
Well, let me kind of talk to you guys about the cemetery, because this is really where everything sets up for this particular place. And we'll also talk about another event that happened. I'm going to try to go through it quick, but I think you guys will enjoy this. Colonial Park Cemetery is one of the oldest cemeteries there. It was the very first one. And when the Northern soldiers with General Sherman marched down through Atlanta and burned it to the ground, they ended up in Savannah. While they were in Savannah, they actually had no place to go and was cold. So what they did was they took out some of these little crypts and they went inside of it, and that's where they slept. And that's where they stayed while they were taking on and destroying the city of Savannah. So a lot of these people were living with these bodies and just trying to make it work. They would use some of the bodies to actually fuel the fires.
Oh, man.
Because they had no wood. So the cemetery has been highly desecrated for many, 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 many years because of that. They don't know where the bodies are. And some of the bodies that they found, they took and just buried in the dirt. There was an excavation that happened in, I don't know, probably the 1800s, early 1900s, but they started building the actual buildings that you see there today. What they realized is that the cemetery had been moved. So they made it smaller to protect it. But what they didn't realize is that under all of those buildings and all that street that you're on now, there's still bodies underneath there. They found that there's over 20,000 bodies buried there.
Oh, wow.
And just, they don't know what to do with them. So unfortunately, there's no place to move them. So they just left them there and built the buildings on top of it or the roads on top of it. When you walk around Colonial Park Cemetery, there's a sidewalk and they have these little bricks. They kind of have like this little circular pattern that just keeps going around and around and around and around on it. You'll notice, because they do have cobblestone roads there and old plantations, that none of those bricks match. Why don't those bricks match in front of that cemetery? Well, since they don't have a cemetery stone, they know how many bodies that they're approximately there. So each one of those bricks makes up one person that was found underneath one of those buildings, under the roads,
wow,
or anything else. Now, that place also has had physical bodies, ghosts being found at nighttime and sometimes during the day with kids running through the place and jumping around. So you can literally see a ghost there during the day. It's that haunted and that common to see it. Also, when you're there, there is a spot behind the cemetery. One of the things that was known in the South that was a big plague and it happened every year was yellow fever. Yellow fever would happen all the time. And in Savannah, it almost wiped out the entire population every year. There were so many bodies, they didn't know what to do with them. So what they did was they took out and they had a mass grave behind there. And right now, all it is just a big field. They would take the bodies, throw them in there, put lye on there. Now, here's the horrible part about it. And what yellow fever would do is, if you had passed away, sometimes you didn't actually pass away. It slowed down your heart to the point they couldn't feel a heartbeat. So a lot of these people were thrown in the mass grave and were not dead. That is where they also get that little contraption where you were laid down in a casket and they had that little bell up at the top there that if you were mm-hmm. buried alive and you woke up, they had somebody sitting there all the time to listen for those bells. And if those bells started ringing, they would go dig you up. And so what a horrible, horrible, horrible vision. So, and a lot of the times, by the time they got down to these people, they were already gone. There was they either had a heart attack from fright or they died from lack of oxygen. And you got to remember, back then, it was just a tiny little wood casket. It wasn't like what we had now. So sometimes these things crushed in on top of them.
Mm.
So when you walk through some of these places in Savannah, there's like a little dip. And even on the sidewalk, there's little dips. Those are the caskets that have fallen through.
Oh, wow.
And they have, it's like a little mountain. So you can't really go roller skating there because one minute you're on flat ground, the next minute you're not. So it's a really interesting thing to see. But this cemetery literally is the basis of the entire downtown Savannah. And most of downtown Savannah was the cemetery. So that's a really interesting thing. And then a couple other places that you can go see and have an experience on. How many people of you out there have watched Forrest Gump? I'm probably sure everybody that's listening to this has seen it.
One of my favorite movies.
You guys probably remember the bus stop scene where he's talking to the lady and she goes, oh, it's just three blocks down the street. He goes, down there? And she goes, yeah, down there. He gets up and runs. And he runs to Jenny. That particular spot is in Savannah. They have these big, huge courtyards that you can go to. And that happens to be a wonderful place. It's like they have trees, they have these benches you can sit there and enjoy reading, picnics, everything. There's four of them throughout the entire downtown Savannah, which you can walk the entire city, by the way. So behind this particular spot is a tree. Now, you don't think that it's that big of a tree. It doesn't look like any other tree. But in the 1800s, right after the Civil War, there was a gallows that were built on that exact same place out there, right in the same area as this particular park bench. Now, you can't see the park bench anymore. It's in a museum in Savannah. But regardless, there was the gallows there where they come hang you. And then there was the state prison where these people, all they were able to look out and see was the gallows that they were going to be hung on.
Hmm.
So this is where they hung a lot of the traitors to the South, a lot of the Union soldiers, and a lot of slaves. After the Civil War, they destroyed the gallows. Now, here's the problem. There's still a lot of racism down here at this time. So a lot of the times they would go out and kill the slaves or some of the black people that they didn't particularly like how they were doing things or anything else, because they were racist. You know, and if they got caught, even somebody said that they slept with a white woman or a white man, these people were dead. So they needed a solution. So there is a tree out there, and I do have pictures of this tree that it literally comes out, and they call it the hanging tree. You can see it from, you could probably see, if you actually watch Forrest Gump, you might be able to see the tree in the background. It has killed probably 300 to 400 people.
Wow.
Where they would hang them and lynch them on this place. And sometimes they didn't even go to trial. They just brought these people down and hung them. Now, here's the thing about it. This particular tree, because of the evil that happened, doesn't have a normal ghost by it. It's actually said to have demonic activity. People have heard growling, and I've heard EVPs of the growling. They've heard Latin being spoken. People have been scratched. People have gone insane standing by this tree. So they try not to encourage people to go see it. And I really wouldn't either. But if you do happen to go to it, definitely save yourself afterwards. But you can tell the tree because it's the only one with a branch coming out and goes straight across. Like if I was just to pick up my arm and put it adjacent to my ear or perpendicular to my shoulder, that's what it looks like.
Hmm.
So I will send a picture of the tree if you guys want to see that. So that happens to be a place that you can see anytime and actually have an experience because the demons literally are around the tree. But I would not go over there and tease, if you know what I'm saying. Demons are nothing to mess with.
No.
So after that, what I did was we stayed at a place called Planters Inn. And this happens to be a known haunted hotel. And that was why I went there, because my mom actually stayed there. And she goes, look, if you want to try to see something paranormal, you got to go there. And it's a gorgeous hotel. And you can pretty much get there anytime. But prior to COVID, they did not open up the seventh floor. The seventh floor was the most haunted level in the entire hotel. However, I got lucky enough to sleep on the seventh floor because they have to keep so many people per floor. They can't overload that. So there's only five rooms up in the upper level. So I was the only one up there. And I was really excited about that. So when we got there Friday night, nothing really happened. But I did hear some slamming of the doors at nighttime. I didn't think anything of it because, you know, why would you? There's people there. There are people that come up and try to wake up people. It's not the first time I've ever heard that happen in a hotel. So I thought nothing of it. the next night, before, right after we got done with our ghost tour, we came back to the hotel, and then's when everything started happening. It was really, really intense. I went to bed around 11 o'clock, something like that. And around 12:30, it sounded like if I was to take a big table, a big wooden table, walk into my bathroom, which it happens to be a porcelain tub because it's old fashioned, pick this thing up and just slammed it as hard as I could in the middle of the tub. That's what it sounded like. Blew me completely out of bed. Now, I asked the people below downstairs, is this a wood floor or is this a concrete floor? They said it is a concrete floor, which means it's soundproof. Dear. So yeah. I would not hear anybody slamming doors. I would not hear anybody doing this downstairs at all. Soundproof. So this came from inside of my place or one of the hotel rooms next to me. I asked them if there's anybody else on the floor that night. They said there was not. Nobody else rented the place. We were the only ones that could rent that place because there's only five rooms. So this came from my hotel room. So anyways, before I asked about all that stuff, I went in and checked it out, and nothing had fallen in the bathtub at all. Nothing. There was not a shampoo bottle or anything that fell. It was just the way I left it when I went to bed. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know? So I went back to bed. It woke up my wife, and she was, you know, a little groggy on it, but it didn't really phase her like it blew me out of bed. I'm a light sleeper. So then probably around 1:15, 1:20, I hear all the doors opening and closing in the hallway. Knowing that I was the only one here now, I run outside, and it stops the minute I get out there. And I can see from end to end of the hallway, not one person was up there. The only way down was the elevator and a fire escape, which happens to be out through a window. So I'd have to see the window open. So I know damn well nobody was there to open and close these doors. So I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. I went back into the room. When I got into the room, this particular room, and actually all of them have ceiling to floor, heavy blackout drapes. When I first got into the hotel room to close them, it took me a little bit of strength to close these things. They were extremely weighted and heavy. They were Victorian.
Heavy cloth?
Yeah, heavy cloth.
The reason I say that is I'm looking at pictures of Savannah and the Planters Inn.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at those very drapes you're talking about.
Those are heavy.
They're like 12 feet
They
long.
Feel like they have lead in them. They really do. So I walked in here and they were wide open. Now, my wife had a hard time doing it because she had a stroke, so she can't close these things. So I was closing them and opening them for her. She's still sleeping on the bed. These things are wide open. You can see the moonlight coming in. I had to close them, and it took me a few minutes to close them. So I was like, okay, that was pretty interesting, you know? So I went back to bed. I laid down, and as soon as I laid down, I didn't even have my eyes closed yet. I could hear a man screaming outside in the hallway. Now, this is something that could obviously be somebody coming up, getting hurt, whatever. You know, maintenance man, whoever that could be up there. I ran outside. Once again, nobody's in the hall, but it was a blood-curdling scream like somebody was getting murdered. I was like, okay, this is starting to get real now. I'm like, this is good stuff. So I went back in, and honestly, I didn't have any more experiences that night. So I thought, 4:30, I wake up because I felt like I was being watched. When I woke up, right in my face was the bust of a preacher. You could see he was face to face with me, giving me a horrible scowl look. He was see-through. I could tell he was a pastor because of the collar. And he just looked at me and then disappeared. That was the first time I have actually seen outside of that cemetery, the Green Lady Cemetery I talked to, that was the actual first time I've seen a full body apparition. And it was right within feet from me. Probably not even feet, maybe more inches in front of me. And I woke up, I was like, oh, no way did I just see that, you know? And then I went to bed and nothing else happened. That was it. I woke up, we came back to Florida, and I had a smile on my face from ear to ear because I actually had one of the most profound, long-term paranormal experiences I've ever had in my life.
That's incredible. I'm just reading through some of the reports from people that have stayed there. Everything from cigar smoke smells to slamming of doors to unexplainable noises to glass doors breaking for no reason.
Yes.
I mean, there's a whole list of things here. This article is from July 2011, but I can only imagine.
It's the same.
And ashes. Ashes on the floor that they keep cleaning up and don't have explanation for.
Yeah, because you can't smoke in the hotel.
And ashes in the sink that nobody can explain.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff.
Now, here's the funny thing about the place. In the early 1800s, that place was a parsonage. And right next door to it was a church. The parsonage burned down. I think that's why I saw the face of a preacher.
Hmm. So I'm looking at a picture here, and it looks like there's these, everybody, or maybe not everybody, but there's these nice terraces that overlook the street.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm wondering is, it looks like there's no way I could know north, south, east, and west based on the picture, but it looks like there's a park.
That's what I'm talking about. That is exactly, there's four of those. And one of the, you literally walk down outside, walk in there, and that's what you wake up to in Savannah for most parts, because Everybody has one. And that's where the hanging tree is in one of those four parks all the way across town. That's what you're seeing behind Forrest Gump when he's sitting there talking to the lady on the bench.
That's amazing.
And I'll get you some pictures of the tree, and I'll get you some pictures of what I took too. You can actually see it on my Facebook, but I'll send you a link to that, and people can see it, because I think they'll really enjoy it. But it is Southern charm mixed with the horror of the paranormal all in one. And it doesn't matter what time of day, where you go, you're going to be walking on somebody's grave, and you're going to have some type of paranormal experience. I'm pretty sure of it.
That sounds like a crazy expedition, Mr. Dowd.
It was. And I highly recommend, if anybody wants to experience what it's like to have paranormal experience and other things, that's a place to do it. Oh, one more thing before we go. There's a very historic person called Jonathan Carver, Washington. He has a statue in one of those four parks around town. Now, if you stay at the Planters Inn, if you walk north, it's like maybe six blocks away from Paula Deen's restaurant. But then right past that is a statue of Jonathan Carver, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
During yellow fever, they didn't know what caused this, why it kept happening. It actually happened because of mosquitoes. They didn't know that. But at the time, he thought it was something to do with the Spanish moss. So he put in a petition to get rid of all the Spanish moss on all the trees throughout Savannah. And it did not fly. They did not do it. The place where his statue is and where he's buried, he's actually buried underneath the statue. That particular park has no trees that ever has Spanish moss growing in it. Now, if you're ever in the South, I can look out my front window right now and there's five trees. All of them have Spanish moss in it. It just grows down here like crazy. So it's really funny because they say it is Jonathan Carver, Washington. He's going around and still pulling off the Spanish moss.
Ah, trying to get rid of yellow fever, huh?
So here's the other interesting thing about Jonathan Carver, Washington. Why does he have the last name Washington? Well, Jonathan Carver's father was a huge confidant to George Washington.
Oh, wow.
And they went to the Revolutionary War together. And so there was one time when Washington came down to Savannah to stay with his family while he was away. It's said that that George Washington may have been the father of Jonathan Carver Washington. That's why he was named Washington. But other people speculate that it just could be out of respect for his friend.
Huh.
It's probably the other way around. Let's just face it. That's just the way it was back then.
Well, I'm also looking at some pictures here, and it appears that your hotel is a bright spot or a haven for weddings.
It is. It is absolutely gorgeous. And the park right across the street from the front door is one of the most beautiful places to actually have the wedding in. So if you're going to stay there, the main gallery of just when you walk in, they got a piano that people play piano all the time. It's like a five-star restaurant. It's like a five-star hotel. And I got in there for like, normally it's like $200 a night. And because when I went, it was more towards getting up to Thanksgiving and they knew people were not traveling, I got it for $164 a night.
Wow.
So it's hard to get those type of rates anywhere. And this place is definitely worth it. And I'm definitely going back. I'll tell you what, I'm going back and I'm going to stay there for sure. There's other places that are very haunted around there too that are hotels as well.
Looks like a beautiful hotel. Just gorgeous. Every facet of it.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, Jason, I've been sitting here thinking. So far, you've told us about all the places that you have been. This has gone from the paranormal with Jason to something that I like to call paranormal expeditions.
I really like that. Because I have a lot of places that I'd love to be able to talk to you guys about. And yeah, it would be an expedition. I could teach you about the different areas and some of the things that I saw there and some of the things I want to see, some places I want to go.
So give us an idea, just in the last couple of years, some of the places that you've been.
Well, I've been to Dartford Cemetery, which you probably see on a haunting. That's up in Wisconsin. That's Dartford, Wisconsin. You guys know about the one in Burlington, the Green Lady Cemetery that I was. That's where I saw my first ghost at. There are places here in Tampa that I've been to that are haunted. There are also places like Savannah, and there's places in, let's see here, there's quite a few different places. I can't think of them all offhand, but I know that I'd have to just sit down and look at all my adventures and talk about them. But there's also places I want to go. Chicago, there's a huge haunted cemetery up there where somebody has been known to be, they call it a hitchhiker. There's places in New Jersey that I would like to go see. And one of the next places I'm going to travel to is New Orleans. And I'm hoping to do that here in the next couple months.
I would love to join you when you go to New Orleans.
Yeah, it's really a cool place. I'm only about 10 to maybe 11 hours away from it by car. So really? it's not that far of a drive. You just have to, because if you really think of Tampa, we're right in the middle of the state's west coast.
Yeah, but so, isn't there a big ocean right between you two?
There is. But what you do is you just go up to the panhandle, cut across through Tallahassee, go to Pensacola, and then you get there, you go through Mobile, Alabama, which is really, really not that far away. And then, because it's just in that little tip, same with Mississippi, you go through Biloxi, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're in Louisiana, and you probably have about another hour, and then you're into New Orleans. So it's really not that bad. To get to Pensacola from here, it's 8 hours. Okay. And then I'm thinking it's probably about another 2 to 3 hours to get through Alabama, Mississippi, and then into New Orleans. So it's kind of right in the tip of Louisiana.
All right. So, but wouldn't it be much more cost effective to get a cigar boat and go straight across?
You would think so, but there's nobody that really does it that far, and it would probably take a couple of days to do it. Because I mean, you get the boats, you're probably looking at, they got to go around certain places, and they usually go up the coast and around anyways. So it's probably still going to be about maybe a day, 24 hours, as opposed to maybe, you know, 10 hours.
Yeah, but you could put on a white suit and a Panama hat and have a great time.
We could do that, yeah.
Well, anyway, there are two places that are high on my bucket list, and one is New Orleans, and the other is Gettysburg. Those are the two places that are on my list.
I have been to Gettysburg, that are haunted. But I was too little to understand it.
Well, from what I understand, now Sylvia Schultz, she does Ghost Stories with Sylvia with us here on the podcast. She has been there twice. And right now is doing kind of a countdown to her 100th episode of her podcast, where she is talking about all the places that she has been in Gettysburg. So if you want to check that out, that's pretty cool.
I bet. I really bet. Now, I've been to the Alamo. That place is haunted. I didn't have any paranormal experiences, but I have been there.
I've been there. I had to live 4 months in Austin, Texas. And so I went to a few Spurs games and a few Rockets games in Houston. But there is nothing better than the Riverwalk in San Antonio. Nothing
it's
better.
It's gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
Well, Jason, we're going to have to think about the name of this segment now.
I like paranormal expeditions because that's what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a pretty good idea. So, well, we'll have to talk about that offline.
Okay.
All right, Jason, do you have anything that you want to tell us? Anything you want to talk about before we call this?
No, I don't think so. Not right now. I mean, we talked about one of my coolest adventures I've ever had with the paranormal, so I think we could leave it on a high note with that.
All right, that sounds great. Thank you, my friend, for joining us today for another Paranormal with Jason, and it's brought to you by Gladys Goodies. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
The Paranormal with Jason was brought to you by Gladys Goodies, great treats for your pets to eat. If you need treats or swag for your little friends, head to GladysGoodies.com and indulge your pets. Don't forget to use your very own promo code, RONS, that's R-O-N-S, and you will receive a 20% discount on all of your purchases. That website again is GladysGoodies.com. Until next time, watch out for the paranormal.
Johnny, is this true?
As you know by now, I like to surf the internet to find the strange and unusual. I do this in the name of the podcast, but the truth is, I would do it anyway, even if there was no podcast. What you're about to hear is...
Johnny, is this true?
I will tell you a story and then ask the question, did I make it up or is it true? Your job is to decide. Let's get started.
Johnny, is this true?
This time on Johnny, Is It True? We will be discussing the movie franchise, Alien. A kind of tie-in to this week's Audible story. But here's the tricky part. Not all the facts that I'm about to present are true. Can you tell the lie from the truth? How well do you know your aliens trivia? Let's get started. Fact number one. Not all titles stay the same while a movie's in production. This was true of the Alien movies. Originally, the title for the 1979 film was Starbeast? Now, that name is pretty cheesy. I think I must have made it up, right? Nope. And I'm so glad that they changed it, because I don't think I would have been as scared of that title. When Dan O'Banion was drafting the screenplay that would become Alien, he had a more than unusual title, Starbeast. He didn't like it, but he struggled to find a replacement until one late-night writing session. As he was typing dialogue in which the crew members were discussing the alien, that word jumped out at him. He promptly ditched Starbeast for the simpler title, which he loved because it was both a noun and an adjective. Fact number two. Would you believe that the original alien creature had dialogue? In that famous scene where Ripley curses the queen and blows her out of the airlock, the queen is heard to say, "I will get you, my pretty, and your little cat, too." Now, this is just silly. Isn't it? Right? Thankfully, it is silly, and I just made it up. To think that the aliens could speak would have taken some of the fear out of the film and brought it down a few pegs. What makes the alien creature so darn scary is that we never really know what drives them. Fact number three. Cast members regularly fell unconscious during the filming of the movie Alien. It was suggested that the intensity of the content and the dark lighting promoted real fear, and the actors just couldn't handle it. Now, do you think that this could possibly be true? Well, it's partly true. The actors did pass out on the film stage, but not from fear. Spacesuits, even fake ones, tend to get hot, especially when they don't let any air out. Add in set lighting and a summertime production schedule, and you have some truly sweltering conditions. Veronica Cartwright, who played Lambert, revealed that the actors were fainting so regularly that a nurse was kept on standby with oxygen tanks. But the costumes weren't actually fixed until kids got involved. For a few perspective shots, Scott put in his own two sons in spacesuits. They also passed out, which finally forced the crew to modify the costumes. Fact number 4. Have you ever heard of the rock group The Who? Well, Roger Daltrey played a huge role in the success of the movie Alien. Now, you have to decide, oh, sure he did, or, oh yeah, he sure did. Which is it? He did help. When the Nostromo crew disturbs the facehugger, there is a beam of blue light which indicates early trouble. And you have The Who to thank for that. Lead singer Roger Daltrey was experimenting with lasers right next to the studio where Alien was shooting. He graciously lent his equipment out to Scott. And the rest is, well, history. How about that? Well, that's it for our Alien Facts segment for this time. I hope you enjoyed it and found it rather scary. Remember that in space, no one can hear you scream. It's true. Do you have any unusual or strange stories that you want to share? Send them to Ron's Amazing Stories, and I'll use them, if I can.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Was episode number 474, and these are the people that made it happen. Jason Dowd, Abraham Sherman, and Tammy Withers. Your stories this time were amazing. If you want to follow the podcast or the blog, head to ronsamazingstories.com. There you will find any of the links I mentioned and how to contact us. Do you want to help the show? The best thing you can do is to tell your friends all about it, and please leave reviews or feedback wherever you listen. Clicking that follow or like button makes us grow. Thank you for listening, and I hope you come again to find out what are Ron's Amazing Stories.
All of the vintage audio used in the podcast is believed to be in the public domain. Ron's Amazing Stories does not own the rights to any of the old-time radio used here. If you hold the rights to any of the shows played, please contact us immediately at ronsamazingstories.com.